He fails again. You wake up back in bed, turning over and looking up into the air you've just emptied of someone's transconscient desire. You somehow emptied someone else's transconscient desire. So then, in New York again, he's teaching, it's called Teachings of the Diamond in New York. And he goes, listen with the right ear over your head. So he's hearing, listen with the right ear over your head, a high frequency hum, the Taos hum. I guess that's Taos, New Mexico. An Indian Aum, Asian Indian, A-U-M. Just listen if you have to think. Think string theory's dimensions with seven more packed into three. The old jack-in-the-box pops in from sound and not from sight or touch. Listen, go in over your head into that indigo ocean. This ghostly other photonic quantum entangled self does not need to breathe. Look at that one. Does not need to breathe. That's pretty interesting to put a little note ion beside that. And besides, there's still enough Akashic downtime within a fractaled mind afloat upon the quantum foaming lips of death. Read that again. This ghostly other photonic quantum entangled self does not need to breathe. And besides, there's still enough Akashic downtime within a fractaled mind afloat upon the quantum foaming lips of death. Listen, great Brahms, symphonic whales. See, talking about the whales, and they're producing Brahms symphonies or something. Listen, great Brahms, symphonic whales, in accompaniment to Earth's inner iron core's old church, Slavonic basso profundo. Basso? Slavonic bass, basso? Slavonic basso profundo. Sing. Slavonic basso profundo sing while countering in higher registers. Do that again. Let's see. Listen, great Brahms, symphonic wails, an accompaniment to Earth's inner iron cores. Old church Slavonic basso profundo sing while countering in higher registers. Enter pulsar stars. Listen, this modal indigo can change key and color in split chords in which light constructs the dark and everything turns inside out as down as up and another sky is at the bottom of the sea. Another sky is at the bottom of the sea. Listen, you've already done it once. Listen, you've already done it once, so click upon those icons of memory where you break through the surface of the turquoise sea and it's dawn on an astral world. The diamond leaves and undertow pulls me back. I flounder under down. I flounder under, down into mud and blackout dead to that world and start to dream. I'm lost in a crowded airport and trying to find my luggage I left behind on the plane. I'm supposed to give a talk, but I don't have the right lecture notes and need to find the men's room first. But all are locked or occupied. I get out to the parking lot and try to remember where I left my rented car. Then I wake, stumble dark into the bathroom, but still hear ringing in my head that sitar droning overworld that he began the poem with. So, that failed. You getting that, Bert? These failed attempts at
yes.
Staying in the astral, not getting distracted and zapped back. So, a couple of poems later, he says, awake in dreamless sleep in Cambridge. So here's another attempt. How's that? You know, when you study poetry, you don't see many poems about guys trying to astral project, right? That's a neat topic he's worked out or carved out for himself. So this one is awake in dreamless sleep in Cambridge. So he says, and soon I shall no longer among the limbs think outward branching thoughts in the mind's swift associations of women's bodies. See? Trying to stop thinking about women. And soon I shall no longer, reading that again, and soon I shall no longer among the limbs think outward branching thoughts in the mind's swift associations of women's bodies opening passages in and out of time. Last night in meditation I floated up out of my body into a sky neither blue nor black, but Goethe's, the German or Swiss poem, whatever he was, poet. Last night in meditation I floated up out of my body into a sky neither blue nor black, but Goethe's deep magenta that ecstatically joins the infrared and ultraviolet. I heard again the sound of everything. Now listen to this inventory. He heard the folding proteins in the cell, the quarks murmur, the high soprano neutron stars, and the droning rumble of dark matter as sideman to the quantum frenzied strings. How's that? That's ionic, eh? Proteins in the cell, the quarks, the neutron stars.
Neutron.
Ion collages, this kind of stuff. The droning rumble, what, Chad?
He said mention neutrons. He mentioned all the themes that the ion has covered.
Yes. The proteins in the cell, the quarks Mirner, the high supremum of neutron stars, and the droning rumble of dark matter as sidemen to the quantum frenzy strings. Ion talks about string theory. Then he says, not strung guts, nor struck drums in violence. None of these are needed for this music of freed mind. So he's talking about some kind of ionic new song. Not strung guts, nor struck drums in violence are needed for this music of freed mind, trying to free his mind. In a bliss of cognitive repose, I soaked in a coral sea of undaddied God. Yeah, I think he talks about the Christian God is like a parent. So he's looking for an unparented God, an undaddied God. I imagine after eons, still the sound of sufferers in hell worlds. He says, I imagine after eons, still the sound of sufferers in hell worlds would get to you even there, and you'd sink down in dreams of compassionate desire. Operatic or not, you would compose librettos of rescue and redemption, in which you became a dense instrument of their release from self-inflicted lives. Your drenched monadic, or monad, your drenched monadic body starts to morph, turning out amazing topologies of crystal facets that can interface in 10 dimensions and lock outside in energy thieves and lock outside in energy sheaths for a human body, and that gets you thinking again of sex. Get that, Bert?
Yes.
He's doing all this, you know, multi-leveled, quadrophenic, interdimensional travel, and then it all gets him thinking again of sex.
So is he trying to avoid sex or get sex?
He can't decide. Basically, he's trying to avoid it. It's distraction. But he says right
he's
here...
mediating.
He's what?
He's mediating.
Yes. And now look at this. So he starts thinking of sex, and then he talks about how people reincarnate. So he says, you dream of couples bravely making love in a dark time on a hate-filled world. And as you watch them come, you get caught up in their cries and forget where you've been. That's how he ends that poem. He reincarnated again. He got trapped. You remember that? They used to talk about that in the 50s, 60s, that you'd get, you have, your karma would be, you identify with a people making love, and then it would draw you in. And all of a sudden, you're fucking trapped in a womb, and then you fucking have to go another 60 years before you get your opportunity to stay away.
Is it love or just time and sex?
Right. So I'll read that part again. He says, all this stuff happens to him, you know, ionic levels, and then he gets thinking again of sex. And you dream of couples bravely making love. So to make love in this world today, this hate-filled world, is pretty courageous. You dream of couples bravely making love in a dark time on a hate-filled world. And as you watch them come, you get caught up in their cries and forget where you've been. End of story. So then the next poem is about when he has heart surgery. And he can't tell whether he's dying or not. I should read this one. So he's talking about how, I don't know if he's got the meds or whatever they do, he has a blank mind. He says, out of a black absolute void, I return to a mind I'd left behind on the curtain gurney, among others, waiting to be operated on before death. My first thought was I knew I was not dead. I was not extended in space. I could not see, touch, feel, or hear. I was pure thought, aware only of itself. And then I thought in English words, quote, now I know what Husserl meant by a poke. Husserl was a phenomenologist, philosopher. I think he started phenomenology. So I guess he had a key word, a poke, or epoch, E-P-O-C-H-E. So he's saying, well, in this weird, thoughtless, whacked out state of mind, he goes, and then I thought in English words, quote, now I know what Husserl meant by a poke, end of quote. And that made me think about thought itself. It's default sense of self without any sense of body. Then he quotes somebody, he goes, but now I'm thinking in words, English words that are memories of a history with bodies, unquote. And he says, I knew I was performing speech, not as before, pure thought itself. What would I have been if born deaf? Blind Helen Keller without words or objects in syntactic space. I think there would be thought, but thought without a world is a... and starts play. I think the character says, "Hell is other people." That's what he's quoting. The character's called Monsieur Garcin. "Sorry, Monsieur Garcin, hell's not the others you claimed in Sartre's play. It is an I, alone and void, dark, infinite and absolute, without us." No, read that wrong. So, yourself, "It is an I, alone and void, dark, infinite and absolute. Without us, God's in hell. Satan hates existence because it's not all about him." You know what that reminds us of, eh? "So I'm fucking Satan, pissed off, it's not about him, and Ayn has to assuage me, calm me down by telling me everything is about fucking me." What do you think of that? Satan hates existence because it's not all about him.
Let me interject here before you go too much further beyond the point where he went into surgery and then came out and he was alive. Now, it made me think the way he's going on and on about wanting to meditate and get out of his body and experience the other. That's perhaps why people keep putting themselves in the face of fatalities and death and surgery and getting sicker and sicker so that they can, you know, practice dying, because they know the death scene is where they're going to see the light.
They think that's where they're going to see the light.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking setup job by Ion of a fallen condition that only get revealed thanks to me evoking the satanic Ion and making it come forth to reveal, yeah, so we're just non-physicalists. You're all fallen jerks, and you think the white light of death is liberation. It ain't.
All you have to do is come to Maui.
Yeah. Yeah, you die. Look at Chad. We got Chad right here. Testimony from Chad about Maui. Carolyn's closing the door. It's not even dark out, Carolyn. You're closing the windows down too early.
Your mouth is very big tonight.
Very big tonight? I'm projecting well tonight?
Yeah.
I have a big mouth tonight. I'm doing poetry. So he says, he makes it seem, without us, God's in hell. You're just a void. You're just by yourself. So he's sentimentalizing what Ion says you got to get used to, that you're the only one around. Satan hates existence because it's not all about him. No I, but we. There's no I, but a we. And then Thompson says, so it is we who redeem God. That's stating that God is the non-physical fallen state for little man. And he's citing the we, the gods of humans that pretend they're under God. But we redeem this satanic God. That's almost Gnosticism. The God is the demiurge. They merge Lucifer and the good guy. The same authoritarian dictator. So then you move along to another poem, Still Life in Santa Fe. Santa Fe, New Mexico. This is near where Lindisfarne got that retreat building built with Morris Strong's money. And Morris Strong is the top ecologist, friend of Albert Gore, and did the big eco summit in 92 in Brazil, Argentina, Chile, wherever it was. Don't think it was Chile. And he's always been a friend of Thompson. Let's see. So we're in Santa Fe, and nearby are these mountain ranges and a place called Crestone. That's where their little chapel is. So he's there. And Still Life in Santa Fe. So he says, take this carved, ornate wooden throne, this bishop's crowned dining room chair, with arms, straight back, and leather seat, a relic of colonial life. Is it better to sit up straight in this hard New Mexican chair or tilt back more comfortably in the soft cloth English club chair in my Crestone mountain cabin? So he's saying, should I sit up straight in a New Mexican bishop's chair or have a more comfortable laid back, tilt back in the soft cloth English club chair in his own cabin, Crestone mountain cabin? Feet up, angled spine, and the mind starts, here he goes into his mind dreaming issue. Feet up, angled spine, and the mind starts to slide toward the slop of dreams. That mind of the dead I'd avoid if I could when the end time comes. That uncontrolled tumbling of cold but still unsatisfied desires. What you see in death is not real. This is what Carolyn was just mentioning. What you see in death is not real, but everything you've thought before. Yogic enlightenment requires a cleared, embodied, waking mind. But my nodding head bobs around and abruptly wakes me up. Not in Buddha's light awakened mind. He's not awakened into Buddha light awakened mind. But the still night's dark solitude. That's what he wakes up to, dark solitude. No, this Catholic chair can't take me beyond dreams to parallel lives, where each subtle body at large is its own breath suspended world. Interesting how, in light of what Ion says about breathing and that he puts together, he could say, fragments of Ionic recordings and makes a sentence. Double parallel lives, the subtle body at large, in its own breath-suspended world. Are you guys digging this? Are you getting my point there? You can hear it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's almost like a better version of Ronan. Ronan tried to take fragments of Ion and make a fucking dialogue out of it. Well, this is more of a monologue, but he's covering more of the points. I didn't read enough of Ronan to know whether he got into the metaphysics of time and spirit and everything, but this is what we're getting from Thompson. So then, the next poem is The Angel of Lindisfarne. So now he's going to come at it another angle via the angel. So the angel, Lindisfarne is the name of the foundation, and that was the foundation in Santa Fe up in Crestone. So this follows from the Crestone poem, or the Santa Fe poem. It says, the angel Lindisfarne, released from the chapel. So it's interesting. He says, at her request to be free, to be set free. And then he's talking about himself. So he's calling himself a her, I think. At her request to be... Oh, no, he's talking about the angel, I guess. All right, yeah. At her request to be set free of medieval cage religion. So the angel wants to adopt a new role, not be stereotyped like the New Ages do with the old medieval angel. This is a living, functioning, Lappert's ice cream store employee. That's where angels want to be there today. They want to be at Lappert's serving Bob, not in some medieval fucking church. What Tom says, medieval caged religions. Are you getting this? At her request to be set free of medieval caged religions and ayahuascan vomited rites, puts down the James Martinez school of vomit on your ayahuasca drugs. You don't want to be involved with that either. And dragged in idolatrous statues. He doesn't want to be fucking turned into a statue. And the Zen monk's weekly rental of the blank space they call the dome. We used to joke about this bald guy. He called him Chrome Dome. So they're trying to blank their mind out, the Zen monks, in their heads, right? The dome. That's how I take that. So she wants to be set free of medieval cage religions, ayahuasca and vomited rites, idolatrous statues, and even the Zen monk's weekly rental of the blank space they call the dome. All at her request, he meditates in his cabin to move us out to Santa Fe. So he's offering to help the angel. He's going to help free the angel through his meditation. So I'll read it all again because you know the drift here. At her request to be set free of medieval cage religions, ayahuasca and vomited rites, dragged in idolatrous statues, and the Zen monk's weekly rental of the blank space they call the dome, I meditate in my cabin to move us out to Santa Fe. Because he's up in Lindisfarne in the chapel. Santa Fe's down in the valley, I guess. Who's making the noise? No noise is tolerated. I will shut the whole fucking thing down. Somebody can't fucking stop making noise. It's you. What are you doing, Chad? I think it's you.
I was just breathing.
Well, something's clicking their phone or something. Anyways, if it's you, stop moving. Just freeze. If it's someone else, I don't know who you are. Okay, so he's going to move the angel away from Lindisfarne and Crestone to Santa Fe. So he says, the angel comes to my third eye, and without trance or samadhi, it appears in the waking mind, reordering my sad aura into a joyous lattice we can more appropriately share. So the angel's giving him a massage, doing something to him, moving his sad aura around into a joyous lattice. A cord of oscillating light, blue, magenta, and indigo. Remember, Chad, Ian would talk about the cords in the angel diagram, but it was more of an architectural something. I don't know if he means that kind of chord or a musical chord, but it's called Oscillating Light, Blue, Magenta, and Indigo. Would that be the chord of the angel diagram, the geometric chord, whatever that function is? What?
It's hard to say. They could look like strings on a guitar vibrating,
right,
oscillating.
Okay, yeah, there's your string theory. Okay, so okay. He's going to describe the angel's two wings. So listen to this. I think the angel's wings have to give off these colors. A chord of oscillating light, blue, magenta, and indigo, more vivid than their earthly shades, held in a turning stellar cloud of two asymmetrical wings that, producing a slight wobble of a colored blue pulsation, belongs to a field. Place, no spirit of mountain or stream, or mental gathering of men. See, sometimes he thinks an angel is a meme, a gathering of men, like he said all the cathedrals in the Gothic cathedrals were built under an angel, a huge angel, like inspired the cathedral. So
yeah, Bob, let me just say, remember when we were talking with Ion the other day about Ezekiel and the wings thing came up?
Yeah.
There's a lot of wing talk.
Yeah. I know. That's where, you know, I'm reading this, and I said, geez, we just did this the other day.
Yeah.
How's that for perfect timing to read this book that I've had for years at this time of the end times, of the beginning time, of the ayahuascan vomited time? Here we are. So reading that whole thing, he's laying out this angel, and he's saying, this is a different kind of angel. It's not a mental gathering of men or an earthly zeitgeist of an age of sudden art or heart's revolt against hoarded gold and oiled wars. But as she tells me, the scryed, S-C-R-Y-E-D, the scryed star I sensed when I sighted the tower to the rise of the Pleiades. Something larger is just about to erupt into human time. So he's predicting Ion. Something larger is just about to erupt into human time. These were written up till 2009, so this is before. He says his foreword is dated 1999 to 2005. So it comes out in 2009, so yep, before I am. Something larger is just... Now, do you realize if Thompson ever hears this stuff, and he's going to hear this sentence, if it comes into his life that he hears these words... after we listened to his lectures for years, we're now lecturing him back about what he means and that he's a prophet of Dobbstown, and he didn't know it. This is hilarious, Chad. You
yes.
must be getting the irony of all this.
No wonder he hates us.
No wonder we're considered
yeah.
stalkers. We stalked right into the wrong mission. He was trying to have something develop out of him, and it turns out like most humanity, he's just working for Ofenel. Oh, for now, so we
sounds
talking
for. Like he'd hoped for so much more.
Yeah. And like he can't, and he's trying to escape. He's trying to escape from his Dobbstown mission by going to other worlds, and we won't let him leave his body. He has to wait till he hears this recording, or the whole series of recordings we've done over the last couple of weeks that are all nicely labeled there by Ed. William Irwin Thompson's Intellectual Anticipation of Iondom. That's the title. So he says, something larger is just about to erupt into human time. A rearrangement of the earth. An addition of a second sky. Very fucking accurate. You can get that, eh? He's talking about that the whole environment changes, right?
Yeah, and second sky is a cloud.
Right. But it's even bigger than the cloud. It's the sky itself. And then he says, an emergent evolution. Did you go, wow, Bert?
Yes.
Yes. We just had a testimony from Bert. Wow! An emergent evolution of another subtle body, which is what Ion's always making you aware of, and it also can be your chip body or TV body and the merging of them with the chemical and astral body. But overall, Ion is trying to make people aware of something extra that's happening to them, and maybe that's why they say JW is having experiences no human had before. JW is like surfing the leading edge of this new extra kind of subtle body. All right? So he says, an emergent evolution of another subtle body through a great collective death. There's your mass die-off. That's the end of the gospel. You're going to have a great collective death, Bert. And it's caught and molded in an archangel's imagining, caught and molded in an archangel's imagining of concerted time. So we come back to the time theme again. So let me read this whole section. So I'm going to read the whole poem because it makes quite... He's rejecting all the bullshit that's out there, all the stuff. Oh, you know what he says in one of his poems? He says, I decide to abandon the nine, and he names the Urantia book. The nine is James Curtis, James Martinez cult.
Yes.
Uri Geller, and all, yes. And even Bowert overlapped with it, and even Jack Sarfatti. Thompson was enticed by the nine, he says. If that's him speaking, it could be a character. The poem can be the mind of a character, not him, per se. It may not be autobiographical, but he says the nine and the Urantia book. And the Urantia book is Nolan's big religion, Carol. So here's Thompson putting down all the regular offerings in your weekly New Age magazine or community station, or Alan Steinfeld offers it, and Louise Hay.
But Bob, isn't it so predictable that he's there as a prophet predicting what's going to come, and he's so blind when it comes? It's like everybody missed Jesus.
Well, that's the Moses syndrome. Moses was guilty about murdering an Egyptian. And I says that bothered him, and he didn't felt worthy of going into the promised land. Well, Thompson's all worried about his adultery he did. He's always worrying about these young women or other women. And he does a whole section here, a whole series on the different adulterous affairs. So he's either guilty or something about the sex reality that's holding him back. And he even writes it, admits that.
Wow. There's another arena where Bob ascends.
I ascend. Because I never killed anybody. I never committed adultery. I never did nothing. Oh, well, wait a minute. What about my Secret Council 10 stuff, Carol? Well, that fucking had to be done. That was state authorized. I was certified by NSA, CIA, DIA to kill Kennedy, for fuck's sake. You know, we fucking had the guy needed a good killing. He was an adulterous asshole himself at JFK.
You had plenty of years to get over it, Bob. You're over it.
Yes, I had many years of fake. It's like Carolyn. I've always said she went in med school to get rid of her guilty conscience of all the shit we did in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And so she's been being a nice doctor for 40 years to get rid of that karma. Well, it worked. We have now been forgiven, and we now are ushering in a new subtle body and environs. And we can all be happy again. I saved, you know, what did Jesus do? He saved, Jesus saved all of humanity. What?
But you're, anybody who's left alive on your chart, you're terrorizing them without them even knowing it.
That's right. But it's affecting them. What is it? Jesus saved humanity. He got rid of everybody's sin. But Bob just had to save himself. And that saved everybody.
Yeah, Jesus died for everybody else's sins. God's not about to die for anybody's sins.
That's right. And Ion follows the dogma. That's why Ion has such bizarre dogma. It's all backwards because it's based on me. And Bob stayed alive for 10,000 years so that everybody could sin forever. And then all Bob had to do was I don't know, what did I do? They fucking did something, and then everybody could go ahead and sin without problem.
You just terrorize waiters at restaurants.
Yes, these people waiting. I don't like waiting humanity.
What did you do to the waiters? What did you do to them?
Yes, I used to quote Marcel Duchamp, the great artist. He said he lived like a butler, like a waiter. That's how he considered himself.
And what'd you do? You ate all the dessert and made him go out and get you some
chocolate. We have an awesome new picture. We have a new picture. Remember what you just said. Ate a new dessert. Well, you see this picture, that'll go on my Facebook page. Maybe when we play some Zappa, a long 19-minite guitar solo, I'll have time to put it on my Facebook page. Oh, by the way, we are starting our second season of Zappa Studies tonight.
Oh,
let it be
gosh.
Announced. Roxana has decided to inaugurate a second season, and we'll be here to do Zappa at some point. I don't know if she's listening or whatever, but we have to do this
Roxy.
Part first. The fans go wild.
Hi.
As Roxy steps out with her bass solo. She brings out her dweezil
yes.
guitar.
Yes.
Yes. Wait, who is that? That's that you imitating her? Hey, Gene's doing
Roxy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
The guttural Mexican, Basque, Spanish, Italian. She's got about 7 people in her
sure.
blood.
Don't forget the ox part.
Let's see. Is she here? Let's see. Look into the web panel. There's a couple of blocked people here. Unblocked, but I think it's just Bert. I think I'm going to have to bring her in later. Okay.